Hello, everyone. It's Lori Burris with the Catch a Pocket Podcast, Quarantine Edition. Tonight, episode 21, we have Cody Moore. Cody Moore is a 20-something singer-songwriter who also does body piercing. He's very interesting. You're going to love him. Stick around. Got a couple of his tunes on here. It's well worth your time. I appreciate your time. If you have time, since I'm talking about time, if you have any time, why don't you like or follow or tweet or share or whatever the hell it is that we're doing anymore, the Catch a Pocket Podcast, because it makes me feel good. That's the only reason, just because it makes me feel good, because I'm not asking for your money. If you want to donate money, if you have money, if anyone has money, donate to Cody Moore or any other local body piercer, singer, songwriter, hairdresser that isn't getting any money right now because they can't do their job. We're all self-distancing for our own safety and the safety of others. And God bless us for doing that, for real. So I can't give any more credit than credit is due to our governor, Laura Kelly. And I don't even care, you guys, this isn't political. This is, thank God we have someone with sense running this state. So, without further ado, and without pissing anyone else off today, maybe, possibly, that's probably a lie, I present to you Mr. Cody Moore. Enjoy. I'm here with Cody Moore, and he's a musician here in Wichita. Were you born in Wichita, Cody?
No, I was born in Oklahoma, but I moved to Kansas when I was very young. So
yeah.
I grew up in a small town of Potwin, Kansas, about 400 people.
So you moved to Kansas from Oklahoma, just born there as a child, and moved after how many years?
Well, I moved when I was really young, went to kindergarten and everything in Potwin, and then my parents split up when I was about in probably second grade. Mm-hmm. So I kind of moved back and forth from Oklahoma to Kansas, like, okay. every 4 years I'd be like, well, I want to go live here, I want to go live there,
right?
Just kind of moved back and
change.
Forth. Yeah, pretty yeah. much.
So when you went to school, you went to Potwin school? Do they only have one school, or you go somewhere else?
Yeah, well, you go to the elementary school's in Potwin, and then the middle school is in Whitewater. And then the high school is like in between, a little tiny. It's called the town, but it's called Brainerd, and it has literally like three houses.
Wow.
But yeah, it's
Brainerd. I think I've been through there.
I'm serious. I think it's called Brainerd. It's something like that. All I said was my high school's in a field. And that's
right.
All I knew. So,
when you went back and forth, you were maybe in your teenage years. What happened?
Mainly, so my teenage years were pretty bland, you know. I mean, I partied a lot though when I was actually 14 and 15 instead of when I was like 17 and 18 and stuff.
Okay. You just had good connections or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it was mainly when I lived in Oklahoma. So my best friend lived with me. We lived out in the country. So I was, you know, out there partying all the time,
right.
You know, when my mom wouldn't know about it, I would just go party. And
like when she was working or something like that.
And then I moved back to Kansas about the age of 15, almost 16, and I ended up moving out when I was 16 at my dad's house and lived with my friend, and I started a band with him and my cousin, and I played drums for a grunge band for probably about till I was 19 years old.
Okay, and is that where you started music?
Yeah, I started music a little before that, just like practicing, just like messing around, little mm-hmm. garage stuff, you know, right. like with my drums. And I didn't really pick up guitar and play guitar. Like, I played it, but it wasn't ever serious. It was kind of just I tinkered with it every now and then.
Sure. And so you played drums first?
Yep.
As your first instrument?
Mm-hmm.
And in a grunge band. And what was the name of the grunge band?
The Folded Plains.
Folded Plains. And they were here in Wichita?
Yes. We played a lot of shows in Wichita. We played a lot at the Lizard Lounge and okay. stuff like that. Like,
oh. And you were young. You were underage?
Like, I was like 16 and stuff. So if you're underage and you go play a bar, mm-hmm. as soon as you're done playing, you have to leave. Okay. You have to leave the bar.
But you would sit in the back of the bar and drink beer?
No, no. Oh. I mean, I wish, but no. It's more like we'd go home and I'd drink beers okay. after that. So
they wouldn't just let you be cool with the band or anything. You had to go.
Yeah.
Okay. That sucks. But, I never really thought of that.
Yep.
I
played ICT Fest in 2014 with that band.
Same, yeah. Okay.
And then I recently just played ICT Fest this year, for the first time since 2014.
And you're a solo artist?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have a group that you play with sometimes or just yourself?
It's just me.
That's awesome. You know, what made you evolve into that?
So in 2018, I made a band called The Violet Ray.
Okay.
And I played guitar. And I sang, which it's kind of a lot of the same songs that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very blues influenced and stuff like that. So the Violet Ray was more like we took blues, but I had solos. So my solos would be more grungy instead okay. of being more bluesy. And so that was going great. And then my drummer ended up quitting. So I was like, I took a little bit of a break till probably October or November mm-hmm. of last year, and then I decided, okay, I'm just gonna do it myself. So
right.
and then I don't want to rely on anybody, so I just kind of picked up my own stuff and went with it.
Okay, that's really cool. So who are your inspirations?
I love Robert Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lightning Hopkins and R.L. Burnside.
Oh, those wow are... So you're talking about really
yes
old blues
yeah
artists.
I'm really, really big on old school blues.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not listening to that, I'm listening to like 90s grunge, like Soundgarden and stuff like sure. that. That's my other favorite genres.
Like Nirvana and that kind yeah. of stuff.
I'm a big Chris Cornell fan more than I am a Nirvana fan sure. though, but I love grunge.
Yeah.
But I'm all self-taught in guitar. When it comes to, I might say I'm blues influenced, which is more towards my lyrics because mm-hmm. I grew up listening to Bob Dylan.
Sure.
So I'm more of a storyteller than I am a guitar player. My guitars are very simple, but right. all my songs kind of tell a story. So
that's cool. So your influences, Bob Dylan, old blues, you're really into. Is that what you started with, or it was the grunge that kind of got you into the music, and then you found the blues? And
yeah.
kind of said, I'm talking that language.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. So I was in love with grunge growing up, but I was also in love with like Marilyn Manson and stuff like okay. that.
Heavy metal.
Yeah. And then, I loved black metal and stuff like okay. that. And then during my first band, The Folded Plains, I started listening to blues and kind of getting more into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of just slowly started, like the ball started rolling, and I just got more and more into old school blues and old school stuff.
And so. Now when I hear what you're doing, because I've checked you out on YouTube and stuff, I feel like you're almost a poet. So I would find that kind of like a folk artist in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm very folky.
Yeah. And I like that. I mean, it's like blues folk, which is like thought-provoking and stuff like that. Do you like bands that, like Depeche Mode and stuff like that are just kind of dark and sulky, like Morrissey and that kind of thing?
I listen to a lot of Kaleo and mm-hmm. a lot of Hozier. Is that how you say his name?
I think so, Hozier?
I don't know how to say his name.
That's a good album, though.
But, I listen to a lot of them. I listen to a lot of chill stuff, though, too. Like a lot of finger-picking and folky stuff more than I listen to kind of like darker
emo stuff.
Yeah, I used to listen to a lot of emo music.
Yeah,
but I just kind of got away from that. Every now and then I'll still listen to it.
Just made you too sad.
Yeah, well,
not really. I'm just, you know,
I don't know. It's just, it kind of all just sounds the same to me now.
Right. So. Yeah, I get you. Okay, so is there anything that you want to tell people about yourself that they might not know already?
So when I'm not playing music or not working, I rock climb.
Oh, wow.
I go on a lot of rock climbing trips. Like the last 2 years, I've went to New Mexico and camped in the desert for 5 days, and I go do crazy stuff like that all the time. Trying to go to Arizona this year. And then hopefully I can make it to Norway in like June or July. So
you want to rock climb there?
Yes.
And you have an idea of where you want to go and things like that?
Nope.
Not yet.
Not Norway. I just want to go visit just and figure go see it out. It. Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
so the Southwest kind of pulls at you.
Yes.
So, it's just the desert, or have you ever thought about going like Burning Man or something like that?
I almost went to Burning Man, but the amount of water you have to bring is so insane that I'm like, I'm not
doing too much work.
Yeah, I don't want to go out there for a weekend and do all that. I mean, I bet it would be a blast, but it's just
at any level.
It's funny because I hate camping unless I'm going rock climbing.
Okay.
It's the only time. Like, if you ask me to go camping at a lake just to go, I'd be like, no, not going to go. I'm not going to go just suffer.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, cool. So you're a rock climber. So you're not scared of heights, obviously.
Oh, I'm terrified of heights.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what caused you to think I want to climb that thing?
Well, so I started rock climbing because, like I said, I started a band called The Folded Plains. My cousin, he got murdered a couple years ago, two, almost three.
Here in Wichita?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just kind of picked up rock climbing as a way to cope.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a way to overcome your fears. Like, I'm scared of heights. I have very bad stage fright, even. Cool. And
I mean, so me too. I totally do.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things that it's like, you're never going to get less nervous than you are right now, so you might as well just do it.
And once you get going, it kind of fades away, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the heights when you're rock climbing, you're going to mess up and you're going to scare yourself more. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like you have to forget it. Uh-huh. I do a thing that's called bouldering, which is where I don't use ropes. I climb bouldering is normally anywhere from 15 to 30 feet and you fall on big pads.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I do.
If you fall, you fall on a pad.
Yes, but the pads do not feel good. They're really hard. So it's not great, but it's...
But you don't fall. You try not to
fall. I try not to fall.
Have you ever fallen?
Yeah, but not from like super, super high, probably like 18 feet is the highest I've fallen from.
That's pretty, seems like a long time when you hit the ground.
Oh, no,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's super scary. I went what's called deep water soloing two times over the summer, which is where we went to Missouri. We kayaked out on the river and it was probably about 50 feet tall and we climb the side of the cliffs and we fall in the water. So, and that was fun.
Yeah.
And I almost got bit by a snake and almost broke my finger, but it was fun. It was fun.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I'm also a body piercer.
Okay.
That's my career. Yes.
Oh, you do?
No, that's my career.
To other people.
Yes.
Okay.
I stab people with needles legally and I make money.
Yeah.
So, when I first got into it, I was really scared that, like, because you have to go through an apprenticeship.
Sure.
And I was really scared the first time, like, okay, what if, like, because this has been my only dream since I was 12 is to be a body piercer. And if I, you know, I don't have a backup plan. And if I stab this person and I freak out, then I don't know what I'm going to do.
Can't do that job.
Yeah. But ended up working out. So it's fun.
Where do you pierce?
I pierce at Old Crow over on 3rd and Washington.
Cool.
So
yeah, that's awesome. So what's the weirdest piercing you've ever given?
I mean, genital piercings are sometimes kind of weird. It just depends on client basis if it's awkward or not. But normally it's really cool.
You just keep it sterile like a doctor.
Yeah. You know, it's all professional. There's not really too many weird piercings that I do. I mean,
like somebody doesn't just come in and go, hey, I want my armpit pierced.
Oh, no. I mean, people want some crazy stuff, but nothing like that yet. But tongue webs underneath the tongue is kind of a little awkward to pierce, like just weird doing it. But
yeah, and kind of invasive almost, you know?
Yeah.
Like a dentist.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes people's mouths are gross.
Yeah, they are gross.
Yeah.
I would think they were gross. Mine, like, whenever you get in there, it starts saliva.
Yeah. There's like, a lot saliva, of saliva I have to deal with, like when I do tongue piercings and stuff.
Definitely. So, I can only imagine.
Brush your teeth if you're going to come get a mouth piercing.
And everything, shower. The whole thing. Just any kind
of. Belly buttons are weird because they stink. A lot of people come in to get their belly buttons pierced.
And they don't
just
clean it up?
Oh, I mean, they think they clean it, but I mean, they'll leave, and for like 30 minutes after they're gone, I'm just like still smelling it. And I'm like, oh man, come on. Yeah.
It's crazy. I never even thought of that. Yep. That's like, because you don't smell your own belly button.
You don't.
But if you're in there, I guess you would definitely smell it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anyway, that's a thought. So, what is your newest influence right now that you're working on? Like, you have an album out. I saw you launched an album.
Yes, on August 2nd. I launched
this
it,
August so, yeah. 2nd. Oh, wow. So that's fairly new. Mm-hmm. And the name of it is called...
It's called Slow Aside.
Slow Aside.
Yeah.
So why do you call it that?
So the album is all... If you listen to it, it's heavily influenced on my personal life. The Backyard Bird song is about my cousin.
I like that song a lot.
We had the answers. We thought we knew the world, but we were wrong. We were just young and dumb back then. We only knew the backyard birds. We spent our days by the poolside, singing songs about the sky, wishing that we were older, and now we're missing our lives, we're missing our lives. Well, memories last for a lifetime, but moments they do pass. You will always look back and remember, but you will think, why did time so fast? You ask your God why he does this to us, why he makes us grow older. Is it to watch our friends die, or be his so-called soldiers? So put your death suit on, boy, 'cause you're up next. Don't forget the times we had, when we were living our best life, hanging out next to the poolside. Well, memories last for a lifetime, but moments they do pass. Look back and remember, but you will think, why did time go by so fast? Go by so fast. Now I'm sitting on my back porch, writing songs about where you have gone, but you've been gone for way too fucking long. Oh, I don't know if I believe in God anymore, boy. Where have you gone? Sir, will you give me a sign? Come down and tell me that it is my time. Well, what's the point of living life if in the end we all are supposed to die? Well, memories last for a lifetime, but moments they do pass. You will always look back and remember, but you will think, why did time so fast? You will always look back and remember, but you'll think, why did time go by so fast? Go so fast. We thought we had the answers. We thought we knew the world, but we were wrong. We were just young and dumb back then. We only knew the backyard. And then a lot of it is all about, it's a lot about my drinking, mm-hmm. which, like I said, I'm 2 months sober.
Congratulations.
I just kind of decided to quit because I wanted to focus more on music, but okay. It's a lot of the songs are okay. I talk about selling your soul to the devil a lot, mm-hmm. and then it becoming a mistake because mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, okay, like, you know, people think I would do anything to be able to do this. But then, like, if you think about it, you got to give something to get something. Right. And you end up being like, well, I shouldn't have done that. And the whole song's about, like, overcoming alcohol because alcohol slowly kills you. You know, that's what you're drowning yourself. And, like, selling your soul is like selling your soul to alcohol. You know, you're just like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then the more and more you do it, you're like, man, like, what waking up with a headache every day. I feel like crap. Right. You know, it's horrible.
Sure.
So that's the whole song is like about damaging yourself. The whole album is like, that's why it's called Slow Aside. So,
okay. So, and that comes the blues influence because selling your soul to the mm-hmm. devil. And then yeah. you got your Robert Johnson. Which is the long fabled tale of him selling his soul.
Yeah, he's the reason that that's a thing with music. Is right. He's like, did you watch the documentary on Netflix about him?
I haven't.
Super good.
I will. Good. I love musician documentaries. I usually do like those. I'm doing that country music thing right now on KPTS.
Yeah.
It's the history. I like Kim Burns a lot because he just, he's very thorough.
Yeah.
So if you can hang with him. I did Vietnam War. It was great. You know, I learned so much. Didn't know about it. So... But yeah, so you're right now influenced, or you just had that album come out. How long did it take you to work on that?
So getting up to the album, like I said, so I started doing my solo stuff about November, but I didn't start playing shows till probably like March, like solo shows till like March or April, I would say.
Okay.
Some of the songs are from my Violet Ray album because I wrote them and I brought them over. All of my songs are original. So I didn't record it till August, probably 2 months before August or about a month before.
Okay. And did you record it on your own?
No, I recorded with, Red Cat, Luke Wallace. He runs Red Cat out in Peck, Kansas.
Okay.
It probably took us about 5 sessions altogether to get all 10 songs done.
Cool.
So
sounds 11 really good. Songs, sent them to me, so I'm going to put a few of them on this podcast. Backyard Birds.
Yeah.
That is. Do you have a bass player playing on that?
No, it's just all me.
You did it by
everything
yourself?
In the album is literally just me. I don't have any accompaniments or nothing. It's just my guitar and me.
I bet that's my favorite song.
A lot of people love that song.
I like it too. Also the black, what was it?
Blackwater.
Yeah, I thought that was really good too. So those are my standouts on that album. Yeah, you did a great job. And so I can't wait to hear where you're going in the future. Do you have thoughts on that?
So I'm working with a new guitar tuning to be able to kind of play more traditional style blues. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm probably about 7 songs out of 10 songs done with my new album. Like,
really?
I'm just like trying to figure it out. And I'm not saying as soon as I get 10, I'm going to go record.
Right.
But I'm honestly like just thinking about when my next album is. As soon as I put out my first one, I was like, okay, now I gotta work on and figure out my songs for my next one.
Right. And so, did you have trouble when you were putting it out? Something I always think is I always want to make it more perfect and more perfect, and then I'm just working on it forever and I don't just let it go and put it out there.
I'm very easygoing. Yeah. I probably should be more like that, like more like nitpicky, but when I worked with Luke, to me it was just perfect. I was like, okay, this is awesome. You know, he let me have input, he put input in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, the whole point of the album to me was supposed to be kind of clean cut. Like, this is what I would be like live. This is me. You know, I'm not trying to...
You're telling this story?
Yeah, I'm not trying to put any extra stuff in there so people... And then when people come see me live, be like, oh, well, where's that cool little solo? Or where's that? Like, right. I'm trying to just be like, okay.
This like, is this what is it face is.
First who I am. Like,
cool. Yeah. I like it. I think... So you have your next album already going and you have things in mind. When you're doing that, what are you... Are you trying to tell a story throughout the album, or are you kind of taking one thing and it's kind of a mismatch of things?
You know? Yeah, just a mix match. On all of my songs, even with my first album, all of my songs all just tell their own story.
Okay.
So none of them are linked. None of them are connected. Cool. They're just all their own little thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
If I tried to write like 10 songs that just continued a story, I would probably go crazy. So I write it would
be too much.
All of my songs take me about 15 minutes to write.
Really?
So I don't force it. If it takes me over like 20 minutes even, I just kind of just trash it. I'm like, okay, I don't want to force it. So
right. Yeah. Do you ever come back to it later?
Every now and then. Like I have a bunch of random lyrics written down. And if, really I need, good things if I need and... help, I'll right. like look through my lyrics and be like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to write
this
about.
This kind of fits in there yeah. or this kind of goes with the theme. That's cool. Do you have one that you want to sing tonight?
I can, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like one of your newer ones?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to sing a newer one, I totally can.
Sure, and that way they can hear your album. I'll post how to get it, and then maybe what's coming up
yeah.
in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Let's do it then.
This is one of my newer songs, written in open G tuning, which is more traditional blues. Mm-hmm. It's called Fact.
Okay.
So.
All right, here's Fact.
They say I'm a simple kind of man, but I was born in the valley of the damned. So just lend me your ears, I'll tell you a secret, my dear. Listen to my story, dear. I'll show you a shortcut you hear. To sell your soul, but to get it back. Trick the man with a bottle of Jack. I'll teach you how to win, and that's a fact. I've seen so many things in life, for people dying to trying to find the light. Every time I turn around, people cursing the man uptown, but the devil, he's alive at night. So listen to my story, dear. Show you a shortcut you hear. Sell your soul, but to get it back. Trick the man with a bottle of Jack. I'll teach you how to win, and that's a fact. To sell your soul, but to get it back. Trick the man with a bottle of Jack. I'll teach you how to win, and that's a fact. A gun. You can stab a man like a heart attack, but the bullet will always leave your track. So grab your suitcase and head on out the back. So listen to my story, dear. I'll show you a shortcut you hear. To sell your soul, but to get it back. Trick the man with a bottle of Jack. I'll teach you how to win, and that's a fact. To
sell your soul, but to get it back, trick the man with a bottle of Jack. I'll teach you how to win, and that's a teach you how to win, and that's a teach you how to win, and that's a fact.
Awesome, dude. Thanks, man. That's a really good song. What was the name of that again?
Fact.
Yep. All right.
So it was the first song I wrote in open G tuning, so.
It sounds really good. You can hear that blues influence totally.
I'm trying, so. Yeah,
you're doing really well. And I love your new guitar.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. And, okay, so this podcast is kind of about inspiration.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if maybe you had a story about something that inspired you or something that someone else could be inspired by.
So the probably the biggest inspiration I have towards music probably derives from my cousin. Mm-hmm. When he was kind of helping me learn music. Mm-hmm. When I asked him questions about guitars and stuff, he would say, don't worry about the whole like sound and scales of everything, just find one sound you like and put it together. So like we grew up playing music together and everything was great, you know. Backyard Birds, that song is about, because me and him would sit on the back porch, smoke cigarettes, drink beer, and write songs. That's all we would do every single night. After I quit the band and the band all split up, mm-hmm. Years went on, and you know, we talked every single day. You know, I talked to him pretty much every single day, and then probably like 2 days, 3 days or something before Christmas, I got a call about him getting murdered. So that, instead of taking it very negatively, which I mean it is a very, very negative thing, I took it very, you know, inspirationally or how whatever the word would be, mm-hmm. and like positive, because like it shows me that like you can die at any second,
right?
You can, and you know, he would want me to, you know, he would want me to live my life. You could die at any second, so why not just do what you want to do, right? You know, live your life, be who you want, as long as you're being nice to people. That's all you know, as long as you're not harming anybody, then live how you want, you know. After all of that, I, you know, have kind of opened my own business. I'm doing my own solo music. I'm rock climbing. I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. I'm doing things. And
you're living.
And it sucks that it has to be from my, you know, one of my best friends, pretty much my brother passing away. But, you know, that, like, hopefully my story can help people realize that, like, they don't have to wait till that happens.
Right.
They can, you know, they can just live their life. Like Backyard Bird says, like, the whole thing is pretty much, moments will pass but memories will stay. It's pretty much the whole basis of the song. So like don't rush moments. Like if
right.
if you're getting in an argument with somebody or anything like that, like just kind of fix that and go from there. If you're having a good time, don't try to rush. If you're having a good conversation in a restaurant, don't rush to get out of the restaurant. Just sit in there and hang out, because you might not have that time all the time, you know.
So true.
They could pass or you could pass or something could happen,
right?
So you gotta cherish everything.
Okay, so well that's awesome, and that's inspirational for sure. So, and I appreciate you for coming in, catching a pocket with me.
Hey, yeah.
And anytime,
you're always welcome. I had a blast, so.
All right, thanks.
Perfect.
Hey, thanks for everybody for listening. Thank you, Cody, for being a part of the podcast. Thank you, Kirk, for the music. Thanks, everyone else, for the inspiration and the positive vibes. Like us, share us, tweet us. Don't touch us. Stay the heck back, man. Thank you to the nurses. Thank you to the doctors. Thank you to the scientists. Thank you to anybody who deserves it. Get your face masks on. Don't spread the COVID-19, you guys. Have a great rest of the month. Or whatnot. Can't wait to see you next time on the Catch a Pocket Podcast.